Hello, everyone. I am Lisa Cristofal. I am the managing editor for B2B Writing Success. This is our second live book club Zoom meeting. And as you can see, we have one participant. Thank you, EG. you know, I had said to Ben a little earlier, I think this is probably bad timing coming right off of boot camp and everybody being so busy. But I really am excited about the book that we're reading, Julia Cameron's The Artist's Way, and I'm really looking forward to talking to you guys about it. So, and EG's a little bit ahead of me. I'm on like chapter 4 and she's on chapter 8. So this should be a fun discussion to have. And we may throw in a few Tools of the Titans, Tim Ferriss things as well. So I do want to share with you first, a slide set that I did everybody can know what we're talking about, because it's possible that not everybody has read the book who's going to be watching this session. So I'm just going to do a real quick set of slides so that we're all on the same page and then we can have the discussion. So in Julia Cameron's The Artist's Way, there's actually two key elements that she says you have to do in order to actually get the benefits that she intends for you to get from the book. And what I found really interesting was, is this actually wasn't a book, right? This was class notes from classes that she taught to her creative students. So the first key element is the morning pages. And you may have heard of this. In fact, Tim Ferriss does morning pages. Interestingly enough, he's got a podcast about morning pages, where he doesn't credit Julia Cameron for them, by the way, but he does talk about them. The morning pages is 3 handwritten pages every single morning. You're supposed to do them first thing in the morning. And you aren't supposed to like stop and think. You're not supposed to actually write like you're writing a novel or like you're writing copy. You're really just brain dumping the, oh, I forgot to buy milk yesterday. And, oh, I should have called so-and-so and set up that doctor's appointment kind of thing. And I can't believe I didn't finish that because, you know, so it's just all sorts of, head trash kind of that you're dumping out first thing in the morning over 3 handwritten pages. It tends to be negative. It tends to be whiny and it can be all over the place. It's all disconnected. Like you can go from one thought to another from, you know, between one sentence and another. What do those morning pages do for you? Per Julia Cameron, they clear your brain so you can prioritize and shape and streamline your day. It also slows your brain down because you have to handwrite it. I know a lot of people don't like handwriting things because it does take too long, but it makes your brain slow down so that you can actually see what's going on in your brain because your hand has to take the time to write out the thoughts. Sometimes you're going to get some pretty keen insights on what you really want as a result of writing those morning pages. They allow you to see yourself and what you want more clearly. They free up your creativity. And one of the really cool things that I found a couple weeks in is this idea of posing questions, right? You can ask the universe a question, you know, and then you just write anything that comes to you as you're writing those morning pages. And sometimes, you know, it's garbage, but sometimes it's kind of cool. It comes out with something that you hadn't thought of before that gives you a new idea or an insight. The second key element is called the artist's date. And there are some rules to the artist's date. They have to be done solo. You're not allowed to take your significant other or anybody else, even your dog, I think, on your artist dates. You explore something that excites or interests you. It has to feel like play. And you have to do one of these every single week for an hour or 2 hours a week. And what Julia Cameron says is these artist dates are the things that her students resist the most out of everything she asks them to do. She can usually get them to do the morning pages pretty easily. But when it comes to an artist date, she really has a hard time getting them to focus on doing these. So why are they important? Why does she really insist on it? She says, the morning pages allow us to send our thoughts out to the universe, telling it about what we like and what we don't like. A lot of times in our morning pages, we're like, oh, I hated this yesterday, or oh, I love to do this. Artist dates allow us to receive. So when you open your mind, you make yourself available to inspiration. And they train us to take risks on our own behalf. So, you know, you could, maybe your artist date is, maybe you don't know how to ride a bike and you want to learn how to ride a bike. So you're, you know, or something. It's, it just allows you to be more open to new things. And both of them, the morning pages and the artist date, are active forms of meditation that help you connect with your own consciousness. But the artist date, essentially what she refers to is, it sort of restocks your pond. It allows you to get more of that creativity back in that you're expending with your clients every day and every week as you're writing stuff for them. Oh, that's it. Okay. So let me go back and unshare. And I can't figure out how to get back there. All right, there we go. That just unshared it anyway. Okay. Okay, so E.G., as you've been working through the morning pages, what has it sort of done for you? What has come up for you?
I don't know if you're at that section yet, but there is a chapter in there where they suggest, you know, like, write things down in the evening and then let your brain marinate on it and then use your morning pages to see what the answer kind of came up with in the morning, right?
So that's cool. No, I'm not there yet. Yeah.
Okay. So I've been trying to do that, not necessarily right in the pages in the evening, but I've been trying to think about stuff that is either working or isn't working in my life and how I can improve things. And then the morning pages turn around with kind of, sometimes it's my to-do list and sometimes it's just my, you know, grumble fest.
Yeah.
But like I mentioned, Vita, before you started recording, I'm finding that as I'm working through the morning pages, stuff is just unleashing in me. Yeah. Like I don't realize that it's happening. Like at one point I was just, my all three pages, it was like a quick, I did it in like 10, 15 minutes. So it was just like nothing but a rant. Like I just spewed. I'm like, and then I realized I was spewed. I'm like, where is this coming from? I'm writing all this out. And then literally the next day, the chapter talked about, you know, oh, you're going to start experiencing these feelings. I'm like, well, you could have warned me.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
Yeah. Absolutely. So it kind of helps make you a bit more aware, right? And yeah. And I agree with the trying to slow down the brain, because sometimes I'm writing and my brain is three steps ahead and I'm just trying to get down my thoughts. Sometimes I try to finish the thought, sometimes I just skip ahead. I never really quite figured out what works and what doesn't, but and I'm also not going back to read anything.
You're not supposed to,
that's
right?
That's one of the things she said, you just kind of get it out. So I'm not even really worried about my penmanship. I'm just kind of writing it, you know, is it legible, is it not legible? And then it's kind of like dumping it.
Right. Then, it doesn't really matter. Yeah. And I actually, I have some arthritis in my left thumb and I'm left-handed. So like the first week that I was doing it, I literally had to take Advil before I started writing because my hand would start hurting so much. Yeah. It must be getting used to it now because it's not hurting as much anymore. But, and Tracy, by the way, thank you for joining us. And if you want to come on camera and have a discussion with us, it's a small group today, but we'd love to have your input.
Oh, thank you. Well, my screen and my computer are kind of in two different places. So if I I'll monkey around with it and I'll.
Okay.
But you know, it's funny because I had looked up the AWAI book clubs, but they haven't. I didn't think they were going since about 2015. If you kind of look.
Yeah, this is different. This is through B2B Writing Success.
Oh.
But I opened it up today to anybody because I wanted, first of all, I think the book that we're reading is worthwhile for anybody at AWAI to read and participate in and do. And secondly, I just thought it would be a nice way to get to know some more people after boot camp last week and the, you know, the marketer roundtables and stuff like that to just be able to connect with a little bit broader audience than B2B Writing Success.
Yeah. Well, whoops. Okay, so I'm trying to mess around with my computer and drag it over here.
No worries.
If it's going to work or not. But anyway, yeah, well, I just wanted to say boot camp was great. Let's see. So I'm trying to get it.
There you are.
There. Yeah. Now you see all kinds of not aimed with my my monitor. Okay.
Right.
And I was out cooking.
EG's in a
fire extinguisher here. I've got some things sticking on.
I know. Well, it's been, we just had, I don't know if you guys have gotten the storm, but I'm in Los Angeles and we had, you know, a wallop, which was great. We need
you
the
had
rain.
What they called those rivers, right? Like a cloud river or something?
Yeah,
atmospheric
river.
Cyclone
they said there was more water in that than in the Mississippi River.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I've been out working. Still breezy. But anyway, yeah, I thought boot camp, I thought I never want to go to one in person again. And the
great.
Reason was it was so intimate, you know, and you get so much more from all those speakers. But anyway, I don't want to disrupt the book. I was interested in this because that book is a mainstay in art school 30, 40 years ago, whenever
yeah.
that was. And
yeah.
thought, oh, I haven't pulled that off the shelf in years.
So you did do it before? Did you go through and do all 12 weeks of the writing before and everything?
No, I didn't. I only saw this, what, this came out yesterday?
It was published in the letter, but I'm saying like if you did you do it before
in
like
the past
weeks?
Yeah, in the past whenever I had that book so I was like, oh well, there's a title I know, I not up with everything else, but anyway.
Yeah,
so anyway, so, I just wanted to say what you contributed and all the work that went in to that event was and splitting off the 2 weeks. Oh my gosh. But now it's like, I think I had to come today just because I've been getting on with AWAI for the past 2 weeks. Well, and before that I did the 21 day challenge with Elise. So it's like, I'm not ready to get weaned.
Yeah. And
AWAI,
I'm thinking we didn't have as many people here because everybody's sick of us and saying, I can't get on another call. I can't get on another video.
I can't do anything else. I think it's more of a habit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we need to keep doing this.
And I see it as my change of mental pace, right? It's like stop, pivot, think of something else, right? To let everything else kind of work in the background and then go back.
Yeah, absolutely. So the what we've been doing, Tracy, is for B2B Writing Success, we assigned the Artist's Way probably in September, about the beginning of September, but it's been on our book list all year. So I create a book list for the whole year. And then each month we do a different book. We just started in September actually doing these live Zoom calls to talk about the books. We had just been doing sort of Facebook discussions and then, members of B2B Writing Success are allowed to submit article ideas for the books that we read. And if we accept the article idea, then we pay them and we publish their article and everything. Not a book report, just something they've learned or that they got from the book, right? Something that that triggered them. So, you know, one of our books earlier this year was Robert Cialdini's Influence. And somebody did an article about what reciprocity means to her when she's writing copy. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that we're looking at for these book, writing challenges.
Kind of what you do with Elise in hers, you know, she has you do kind of a sum up of the class, you know, what you thought of it.
Yeah. So yes, right. So what you thought of it and what it means to you, right? What does it mean to your business? How is it going to impact your business? Mm-hmm. Right.
What I'm finding with the book is I'm actually also reading the other book. Now I'm just completely drawing a blank.
Tools of Titans? Or is it?
There's another one.
The other one that you
pushed. The ones that you pushed off to January.
Oh, the ones I pushed off, yeah.
Natalie something, I think.
Yeah, I'm just going to open that while you're thinking of it.
They're actually friends, right? So Julia Cameron and this Natalie woman are actually friends, and they're like writing buddies. And I went through the book list and I just ordered everything that I didn't already have from the book list. And I'm like, okay, so this is my homework assignment. This will be just my reading. And I find that doing the morning pages, reading that chapter a week, and then going back and reading this other book. And yeah, you have to find that because I'm so wrong.
Writing down the bones. It's writing down the bones. Yep.
And so I was going through a few of those every day as well. And I'm finding there's a lot of times where what I'm reading in the artist way and then what's coming out of my brain correlates with what I'm reading in the other book. So I'm making connections, and then I'm able to take that and start applying it, or just see weird connections in the rest of the universe that I wouldn't have seen before. Because even with the other book, Writing Down the Bones, it's not a chapter, it's not a story. They're just all these little snippets of information that have kind of been compiled together. So they're almost like little mini writing prompts. Right, and a different way to look at things. So I'm finding that reading and doing the two of them together has actually been a bit more beneficial than doing one and then saving the other.
Oh, that's cool. And then did you throw Anne Hanley's content rules in? Because she's talking about how to write content and everything.
I've got that one so bookmarked. I ran out of my little tabs. I had to start ripping up post-it notes to stick in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That one, that's then... Cool. You also need to probably add, David Heerman Scott. He did the Fanocracy one, but his new one, the new PR thing, that's really good as well.
All right, so I'm taking suggestions for the 2022 book club reading list, so if you've got some, absolutely send them my way. Yeah, I've already got like a small list of books, and I try to also throw in some older ones. Like I did have Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich in this year, just because there are classics, right, that we really should be reading. I would love to throw in Breakthrough Advertising, but I can't because it's a very expensive book that's only available through Brian Kurtz. And it's, I don't want to make everybody go buy that, but boy, would I love to have a book club discussion about that book if we could. So yeah, there's a lot of great stuff.
I can't even get it yet in Canada until they start.
You can't, oh. Yeah.
Basically, it's just as expensive for me to order it and then have it shipped to Canada as I'd be buying like two books for the cost of shipping and customs and stuff like that. And I can't cross over the border yet to go buy it there. So, yeah, that's as soon as they let me cross into the States, that's single my list.
Yeah. So in the artist dates, and Tracy, if you remember when you did the book long ago and you did the artist dates, what are you doing Julia Cameron says everybody struggles with the artist date. That's the most difficult thing for people to actually buy into the value of and go do. And I actually agree, right? I have probably out of the 4 weeks I've been doing the book, I've done one artist date. And I keep telling myself I don't have time or anything, but I did, a few days ago, just sit down. One of the exercises, I think it's in week 3, is to just write down all the things you did as a kid that you really enjoyed, just like make a list of them, and then start using that list for your artist date. And I actually, one of the things that we did when I was in like Girl Scouts or whatever, Campfire Girls or something, was we went to these ceramic shops and we would paint ceramics and then fire them and everything. And we had like these little figurines, and I just remember how much fun that was. So I looked up some local ceramic shops and they do that. And that's going to be my next artist date. But I am struggling with that. I am struggling with, I don't even remember what I liked as a kid. I like to read books. That was a huge part of what I liked to do as a kid. So.
Grab a book.
Well, and I just quit my job of teaching art. So it was like, when I come home, I didn't want to do any art.
You don't want to do art.
After a long day, I just wanted to write. And that's why I joined AWAI, because they had the artists. Part of that is what got my attention. But people say, I'm just sure you go home and do it. No, I want to practice writing and getting better at writing.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my, I guess, you know, it's funny because I constantly have to come up with lessons and teaching a wide range group. So it's just constant and it's busy and it's interesting. But I feel like I get a fill of it because I have to invent all that stuff and then figure out how to teach it and, you know, all of that. So the writing has been, I don't want to say a hobby because it's been more than that, because I feel like I've been on a trajectory slowly.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I like how writing has evolved. I do for myself. I do screenplays and, you know, like TV scripts. So.
Yeah.
That's huge. That's way bigger than a long form newsletter, but I've never wanted to do a long form copywriter.
Yeah.
Because I have that system.
One of the stories that Julia Cameron shares in the book is she decided to go to some old bookstore as one of her artist dates, like an outing where she went to this old bookstore and she went to the section where it was like travel and exploration or something. And she pulled out a book on Magellan. It was an old book on Magellan. And then she ends up writing like a musical about Magellan. So, you know, it was one of those connect the dot things where she didn't know why she wanted the Magellan book, but it spoke to her and she took it and she ended up doing her creativity is also like writing screenplays and things like that. And she ended up writing a musical about Magellan. So,
yeah,
I thought that was kind of cool.
I'm working on a TV show about it's an incident in California history. So. Yeah. So I love research and I did the AWAI, the research.
Yeah.
I could spend all day doing that. It's hard to pull back and actually do something with it because it's way more fun to do the research.
It is fun to do the research.
Yeah.
That's I know you do that too. Radical. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, I just start reading and then because I'm on all these newsletters, right? And you get access to all these reports and stuff you have to give in your email. And then they send all this money. Oh, that looks interesting. And then you just start reading and I'm like, they're all in here, right? So I just start circling and highlighting and then I start making notes. Well, this would be good for this kind of an article. This would be good for that. And then it's like, I almost feel like that hard cut off. You know, like, thank goodness for deadlines because otherwise all I would do is read and research and then you'd never actually get around to actually, you know, to sharing it.
Doing it.
Yeah.
By having an artist date, instead of a deadline, it does make you do something.
It makes you do something, right?
And do something.
What I do under normal circumstances is I will just pack up and go off into the wilderness. I'll bring a book with me. I'll bring my Remarkable with me. I'll actually bring work with me, and I will do a little bit of everything, a little bit of reading, a little bit of working. I'll go off for a hike or a walk somewhere and then regroup back in the car. But one full day out in nowhere is more productive for me and relaxing than a whole week sitting at a desk.
Interesting. Yeah. So you're refilling that fish pond by doing the hike and the taking everything out into the wilderness stuff.
Yeah. So if I'm writing something and all of a sudden I get stuck, then I just stop. I go for a walk, right? Mm-hmm. And then I go back to the car and then I'm not going to go back to the writing. I'm going to grab something else to do, right? I'll do that. And then when my brain starts to wander, I'll go for another walk, come back, and then revert back. So it's kind of this loop that I do, but it's easier to do that out there because you're not constantly bombarded by your phone and notifications and you know, and so it's just me and what I have with me, so it's easier for me to focus and replenish it.
So I have a question because I have not figured out how to do this. One of the early weeks, she says, don't read anything. Like, don't read. So the first 3 days of that, I was on vacation. Okay, I can do that no reading thing, right? I'm on vacation, we're out doing stuff, no problem, right? And then as soon as I came back, I was like, well, how can I not read anymore? I have a job, I have two jobs, I have clients, I have, I don't know how to not do that. And she's like, no excuses, you just don't read. I don't know how you do that. I tried and I can't. And I don't know. I think that, you know, I think any unplugging is good. I mean, I do that on a semi-regular basis anyway. I might, if I had a very busy week on a Saturday, I might never open my laptop or turn it on or do anything. So I think I'm sort of doing what she's asking, but a whole week, I don't know how that's possible.
You know, it's kind of like, yeah, but it's a different kind of thinking, you know, that the thoughts come and the thoughts get going. And I think sometimes we can, you know, like when you're reading, you are going where that author is taking you. It's not,
yes.
It's not that it doesn't jumpstart other ideas, but you get engrossed in what they're leading you and telling you.
Yes.
But you're not really thinking your own thoughts.
Absolutely. And I completely understand why she wants us to do it. I just don't know how to practically be able to do it.
So in that case, is reading and stuff kind of a crutch, you know?
Yeah.
But especially, you know, like Lisa said, like you've got two jobs, you know, how do you not check in with your email and considering your job's involved?
Yeah, but when she wrote that, there was no such thing as
proofing articles and, you know, getting the website, getting, you know, blog articles and stuff on the website. So that's kind of, it's literally in your job description.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You know, what do I do? Tell my clients, I'm sorry. I'm not doing anything.
I'm taking a week. And maybe I will think of new things to do with you.
Yeah, right.
Stuff. Because the thing is, and this is what I teach, you know, when I teach art too, is you have to let the art piece speak to you.
Sure.
And when you are talking, then this is just because of being a teacher and they constantly talk. When you are talking, that's a whole different brain process and you are not interacting with your artwork. You're not letting the artwork tell you what you need to do next. And we're kind of imposing on that. And I think that it seems like, it, especially with you guys as B2B writers, when you have to do research, and that's where it's been a little hard for me to make a leap to make somebody else happy with my writing. Mm-hmm. Again, it's like letting that piece speak to you. And you're probably pretty practiced at that, you know, as you editing mm-hmm. and stuff. But it's so true with artwork because it's a visual language. It's not a blah, blah, blah. And it's not a written language. It's a visual language. And you kind of have to learn to work in it. And so the value of that is being quiet. And that's what I tell the kids, you have to be quiet to hear the ideas. You can't come. And if you're talking, you're definitely not getting it. So that's the value in that, is having a relationship with that piece of work that you're trying to, you know, bring out and be able to communicate with other people with it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway.
It's like who was it, Michelangelo or Da Vinci, who did like sculpture? Michelangelo, and he said it's in there. Like he could see it in the piece of marble.
In marble, yeah,
yeah.
He's just away the stuff to reveal it.
Yes,
he's not creating it.
Yeah,
you know. But then that's a genius, and you know. But again, see, it has to do with vision, you know, and being able to see.
Are you saying we're not geniuses
on that?
I want to know, Lisa, how you pulled off a whole week of not reading anything.
I didn't pull off a week of not reading anything. I didn't.
I pulled off three days. But I mean, so I took it to be, so I didn't offer my 2 cents with any coffee that was coming through. From Marcella's stuff, like I didn't look at it. and I didn't do any additional reading, like books and novels and stuff like that. And I stayed off of social media and stuff like mm-hmm. that. So I didn't do that. My reading was just check the emails. What's really, really important? What, you know, potential client catastrophe is there? But I tried to keep everything else off. And honestly, I am now struggling to get back into the reading.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't want to deal with that now, right? It's hard to, so it was almost like this cleanse where it's like, you know, now it's, you realize the toxicity of all that extra stuff. And
yes,
you don't want to have to deal with it. So
you don't want to go back to it, right?
Yeah, kind of an onslaught, you know?
It is.
And you have to respond to it. Even if you don't write something back to somebody, you still are responding. But again, it's not your thinking. It's not what you're creating. You're having to respond to somebody else's need.
Yeah.
And, you know, that takes energy. And to have a considered response takes effort. You know, it takes time.
Right.
So, you know.
Well, I did, you know, like for my week, I did. So when we were on vacation, we were riding trains and doing other like kind of sightseeing stuff. So I brought all this stuff on the train and I did not read anything. I just sat and looked out the window and enjoyed the scenery for, you know, 5 hours or whatever the train ride was. So I did manage to do some of that stuff, and I didn't do social media, except that social media is part of my job, right? So I had to check the Facebook groups that are part of my job, and respond to those. But yeah, I was only able to unplug to a certain extent. And I do really wonder what would happen, you know, to your point, Tracy, about like being silent and letting, you know, just letting like your own thoughts. I wonder what would happen if there was any way I could unplug for like, you know, completely unplug for even 4 or 5 days, what would happen? And I just don't know if there's any way I could arrange that. So that would be interesting.
So see, I think what's happened with us with all this media, this constant stuff, is I don't know that we know how to think our own thoughts or be aware of them and then what to do with them. At least when you're a writer, you do have opportunity. But I think, I mean, I look at my grandkids and the children I teach and all of that stuff. And it's, you are constantly having other people's, whether it's the music in the ears, which is a lot of it, but their addiction to YouTube or, you know, and they are curating their own learning, which is really interesting. But again, it's not their own thinking.
Yeah.
You know, and games, that is an adult who's making those decisions for you. And I just find that it's hard to be quiet. Just, kids talk constantly now.
Yeah.
And we go out and do an exercise where we lay out in the field. I mean, you know, the baseball field or whatever, you know, and we lay out there just to look at the clouds, just to feel the earth turning a little bit. They can't stop talking for nothing. And I give them a checklist. Okay. We're listening for the sounds of nature. So let's see if we can. And that constant, I think this constant stuff in your ears has become a constant thing coming out of your mouth.
I think you're right.
And that's a different function. That's a left brain function.
And
it has its place, but it's very linear. And it's not this, you know, the artist thinking is non-linear and it's non-verbal. And they're not getting that. And you don't get any practice being quiet during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Just not practicing. It's like, okay, 30 minutes, you're going to have silent reading. Still, you're not
daydreaming. And it's hard to be creative, right? It's hard to be creative when you haven't made that room.
You don't exercise this muscle at all.
Yeah.
And I just am kind of concerned about it, you know?
They would not want to get into a car with me because I don't listen to the radio. I don't listen to anything when I'm driving. It's just... the view,
which we shouldn't. That is the right thing to do.
I don't listen to anything. And when I travel, I can spend 8, 10, 12 hours driving from point A to point B, and I don't listen to anything. I'm just observing.
Because you know, driving is a right brain activity because you are dealing with spatial stuff. Because, you know, the car in front of you or this or that. Drive. That's why you can't talk on your cell phone and drive because it's two different brain functions.
Yeah.
And you can't do that. Mm-hmm. So driving is such a spatial kind of a thing. But again, you need to be able to interact with that. And when we don't, when we get distracted, you know,
have issues. Things happen. Yeah, absolutely. So that's interesting. So, besides your kind of day in the wilderness, e.g., are there any other, are there any new, like, cause you've been doing that, right? Are there any new things that you've tried with the artist dates or anything that have like given you any feedback or things that have really been cool?
Well, I mean, I bought this thing, right? You know, Angie Coley has this and she can't stop talking about it. So I went and I bought one and it's literally a notepad. That's digital. I call it my adult Etch-a-Sketch. Right? So
what is that called? What is that called again?
Remarkable.
Remarkable. I think
I've heard about that in the conference.
Too, right? Yeah.
So it literally, and it has different templates. So I can write with big lines, little lines, no lines. There's music sheets. There's, you know, you can do 3D doodling, blank sheets, whatever it is. It's all here. So this now comes with me when I go on my hikes instead of my 5-pound laptop, right? And I'll just take it out and I'll just start writing. I'll just start doodling. And before it used to be just get from point A to point B or do my loop or whatever. And, you know, like I'm observing, but I'm not absorbing kind of thing. And now it's more of a conscious effort to absorb, stop, sit, take it in, right? And then keep going.
Yeah.
And I mean, like with me, right? Like you never know from one day to the next. So I'm kind of just making myself wing it. I'm just seeing where things take me, and going through the artist's way is just making me more aware of how I'm interpreting things, right? Like how things are resonating with me. And like I said, it seems like as soon as I get this point where I'm like, what is happening? It's like the book explains in the next chapter. Okay, so you might be feeling this and you might be noticing this. I'm like, yeah, but you could have warned me.
That's interesting. So I have a question. So the other thing is I've been doing meditation twice a day for probably 4 years or so, right? So when I wake up, the first thing I do is meditate because that's like habit stacked with, you know, I get up, I meditate, and then I do a few things. So I don't start writing my morning pages until after I've already done my first meditation of the day. And so some of the things that she says you're going to feel or experience or whatever, I'm not. And I wonder if that's because I'm already meditating before I'm doing the morning pages. So I've already released a whole lot of kind of brain trash or head trash before I ever sit down to do the morning pages. But I don't want to give up my meditation because that is like an addiction for me. I do it twice a day, every day, and I'm not giving it up.
Can you not flip them, right? So like I don't meditate. Usually what I do when I wake up, I do a body assessment because I have so many health issues. I start from it and I'm like, okay, what's hurting? What's sore? What can I move? What? And so I think about that impacts potentially what I do during the day. So then I get up, you know, go to the bathroom, grab my pills, grab my coffee, and then I sit down and then I start writing. So that's not really a meditation, but that's kind of like my body assessment first. And then I start writing. So maybe instead of necessarily maybe giving up your meditation, write it down
flip
first
them around
and then reflect
with the meditation.
Yeah. So see if you flip them around, see if you notice, you know, the rants and the spews that I do in the morning pages and think, but where did that come from, right? It's like you're already, like you said, you're probably already cleaning that out of your system, so it's not coming out in your writing.
Yeah, that could be.
But you're Tracy, also, do you have double whammying it, right? So you're writing it out and you're meditating it out. So you're like full on
Right. I'm pleased. So yeah. And the, so the meditation practice that I do, it's taught by a woman out of New York City, Emily Fletcher, but it's a twice a day. I cannot remember the type of meditation, like the Ayurvedic name for it, but it's like a letting go or releasing. So it's a mantra. And basically the whole point is, yeah, you're going to have a ton of thoughts. And all you're doing is saying, oh, there's that thought, I'm coming back to my mantra. Oh, there's that thought, I'm coming back to my mantra. And it actually de-stresses and releases stuff. And you do that twice a day, because the first time you do it, you're releasing like stresses from earlier in your life. And then the second time during the day you do it, you're releasing anything that accumulated during that day so far. And she says you need to do it twice a day, because if you only do it once a day, all you're doing is releasing that day's stress, but you're not releasing any accumulated stress that you've had up to now. So by doing it twice a day, you would release accumulated stress and the stress of that day. So I think that was one of the things that I was struggling with, is I feel like I am getting something out of the morning pages, but not as much as I might have. And it's probably because of the combination with my meditation. Maybe I will try flipping it and see what that does in terms of making any difference. Tracy, do you have a meditation practice or anything, or do anything?
Before I go to sleep, I do 5 really deep breaths just to kind of just,
yep,
release that. And then, and I suppose you would more say prayer rather than meditation, as far as being open to what do I need to know, and how is this day is going to stay in peace and harmony, which as soon as I have grandkids living with me. So, but that's why I try to start the day,
yeah,
is just being in line with the peace and the harmony that is this universe. And I exist in that, and I'm not outside of that. And what
so
I need
to know,
you're
doing a positive affirmation, yeah,
right, rather than a negative. And then for years I've journaled, and then I don't go back and read it. When I get to the end of that journal, I throw it away.
Huh.
So I know people go back and read, and it's like, you know what? I'm past that. I don't kind of want to get pulled back. And that's where the rants are, or fury, or, you know, frustration and all that. But I found like I don't have time to do that. So more doing it as a recording.
Mm-hmm.
It's there if I wanted it, but then there's a time when I say delete. And so I use rev.com, because then you can get it transcribed. Mm-hmm. And I did that. At first I thought, why do I want to spend money on hearing all of that? You know what? That's kind of done. So it's been more going back to that practice when I get to the end of that. And sometimes might take me a year to get to the end of a journal. Sometimes if I've been particularly upset, you get through a lot more.
Yeah.
And then it's trash, because I wouldn't want anybody else to read it. Might because I'm writing about them, but also kind of working through, you know, those issues.
Yeah, yeah, you're working through stuff, right?
And that would be hurtful. But also the point is I need to get it out and be done with it. And I've always felt like writing, because otherwise I'm churning.
Mm-hmm.
And so writing has always been the mechanism. Okay, it's out, it's recorded. It's there if I really needed to go back and see it. And is that something I want to hang on to? So lots of people I know, they do keep all those things.
Yeah.
But it's been an interesting practice, because I kind of don't remember where I've been.
Yeah.
Or the issues that I've worked through.
That's really interesting. That's really interesting.
So, yeah.
Do you find writing versus typing versus just talking into like a voice recorder? Is there something that works better for you?
Well, the voice recorder does let you have a lot of spewing. If you need that. Sometimes I do. So you have that. But for me and typing, I guess, is probably just more of my age. That, you know, I started off longhand and I like the yellow pads, and I still like that contact of pencil to paper.
Mm-hmm.
And even just like through the conference, I have a whole 2 notepads I filled, you know, just taking notes. And it's probably just habit of taking notes, you know, and growing up like that. And until computers came out, I really wasn't a writer because you had to type perfectly because I didn't want to go back and redo. So then you're thinking all the time so that what you put on the page is hopefully kind of accurate.
Yeah.
So I have just notebooks, and I thought, you know, my mom just recently passed, and so I had all of her stuff to be taken care of the past 3 months and teaching. And thought, you know, I should just throw all this stuff away because nobody's ever going to look through it or care about it, you know. And I need to clean that up for my own daughter because it was not fun doing the cleanup, you know, for somebody else. And this stuff doesn't need to be even notes. Like my AWAI, I used to go back and type all that stuff up, but I never go back and read it.
Yeah.
I'm more likely to read it in a yellow tablet than to go back and read it on the computer.
Really?
That's interesting. So I think it's just habit. I think it's just because that's how you grew up.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate the computer being able to, it's made me a better writer because of editing is rather than have to get it perfect on the type page for, you know, a college paper kind of thing, you know, and heaven forbid there should be a mistake or, oh my gosh, you know, that was misery. I know.
The whiteout.
And then you kind of go back with the typewriter and then
Write it up. Yes. Why I never wanted to be a secretary. Oh my gosh. No.
True.
Oh my. And people are good at it, but oh my gosh, you know, no, I'm not. I'm still not a good typist, but it made all the difference for me becoming a writer because as we hear, you know, it's really in the rewriting that you become the writer and the redo and all of that stuff, which is the same in art. I just have to say, I mean, you never get something down on a canvas the first, you may have this grand idea and you can never get that idea. So you're always fussing around and, you know, and it's kind of the same thing on noodling in with your stuff. Mm-hmm. And rather than you didn't get the right big right idea to begin with and you're trying to make this thing work and don't know why.
Yeah.
Kind of the same thing. But, you know, cover it over, start again, retry this. Yeah, that's why the art has to speak to you to say this piece needs this to happen right here.
Yeah.
You know, so
it's
interesting. So I don't know about making this leap to, I knew the day would come. I just didn't know it was going to be a pandemic. It pushed me just over the edge and just like, and I agree with wearing masks. I agree with, I just can't do that anymore. I just can't teach in a class with kids and do all that stuff anymore, you know, but, or taking a break anyway while I'm finishing. I have my mom's memorial service this week. So then I'll think about teach. I don't want to, I'm not quite done with it, but I just had to have a mental break, just a huge, I want to be done with her stuff and I want to be done with school. And I really wanted to look at writing and look at the commercial side of writing. Cause I like writing for myself. And see, so I've been really, I was just really grateful to see all the avenues that have opened up and how responsive AWI is being to all these different things and bringing them to your attention. Cause a long form newsletter was never going to, you know, I did that course a long time ago. That's never going to do that. You know,
it's so amazing how many people do not like them. It's funny. I've done them. I've written them. And while I was writing it, I loved it. Like the first few versions of it. But after, you know, so many edits and rewrites and everything, I start to hate them. So I do not write long form sales letters anymore just because I don't have the attention span to want to go back and keep doing it because you keep finding stuff wrong. You keep finding stuff you want to rewrite and rewrite and rewrite. And, you know, if you've got any perfectionism in you, you're going to keep doing that over and over and over again until you hate it. So I think you've got to have like a sweet spot of a to somewhat perfectionist, but not too perfectionist kind of personality to write those long form sales letters, right?
You see, I think of them as an art piece. I mean, you know, or a little, it is an art piece. You're going through the same process, you know, so much of that because you are, except for an art piece, well, it depends. An art piece that pleases yourself or you're doing it for somebody else.
Yeah.
And the hard thing is that you're doing all of this for somebody else.
Well, you're always writing copy for somebody else, right? Mm-hmm. Right. All of it. Yeah, absolutely. But so it's interesting.
You can take that. I mean, the challenge that I find with the long form, and I took the six bigger, what is that? The
six-figure
accelerated program?
Yeah. I didn't finish it because I couldn't do the long form sales letter. I couldn't get my brain to think about it. And then I was like, Sandy had her class and like, I'm going to take this class if anything.
Why are you taking it?
I took it already and I'm like, oh. I wrote, that's the only sales letter I have ever written. I never went back to write the one to get my certification. That was the only one I did. I spent easily 100 hours on it. And I'm like, I did it for, you know, because I wanted to learn from Sandy and Will, right? Like that couple together was really great. And I put everything I had into it. I did well. I actually ended up winning the Spec Challenge.
Oh, no.
I'm like, I've never written a sales letter before. I'm like, but seriously, over 100 hours went into it, right? And I'm like, I'm going to take everything that I learned and I want to apply it to content. Right?
Yeah.
Because you can write the really long blog posts, and the advantage to the content over the sales is you can pull stuff out and sprinkle it on social media or put it in the emails or something else. So it becomes more multi-purpose. And then I don't mind going back and you can, because it's not just here, it's the one thing I can go back and go through it again and, you know, maybe update it with the latest stats and figures or whatever, but I can always go back to it and redo it and then extract stuff to use somewhere else. It's not just here's the sales letter, it's going out to whoever it goes out to, and then I can't do anything else with it. It's being able to take it and kind of recycle it, reuse the content and stuff. So it, to me, the principles are the same. It's just getting used in a different medium.
Yeah. I think is awesome is there are so many different kinds of copy pieces and writing opportunities and content and everything that if there's something you don't like, there's probably 20 other things you do like, and
now
they're all
is, yeah.
available to you.
Yeah.
So yeah, absolutely.
The internet even provides that.
It does. All right. So we're going to wrap up, but thank you guys for joining me today in talking about the Artist's Way. I think it's a fascinating, exercise. And I'm really looking forward to, you know, getting to week 8 where EG is and seeing, you know, where I am then. I'm going to try flipping the, meditation and the morning pages and see if that, you know, gets me any deeper in terms of, sort of the clearing out, but that should be cool. For everybody watching this, our next live Zoom call about the Artist's Way is going to be November 18th at 3 p.m. Eastern. So, even if you haven't started the Artist's Way yet, if you want to start it and, you know, kind of, what I'd like to talk about next time is, the key elements are the morning pages and the artist date, but there are all these really cool tasks, that she's got every week, suggestions of things to do, that I have found really interesting. Like they're really, really fun to do. And I wanted to probe a little bit and see if anybody has done some of those and what you learned about yourself from them and everything. And then how the morning pages are going. So I look forward to seeing you guys and anybody else who wants to join us on November 18th. And thank you very much. Have a good rest of your afternoon.
Thank you for offering it. Bye.